Just a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Just a cradle in the shadow of a cross. Little Lord Jesus, born in a manger, just a cradle of a cross.
Twas the night that God looked down upon his son. Twas the night that God looked down upon his son. Little son Jesus, born in a manger. Twas the night that God looked down upon his son. Oh, the shepherd lads were bending the knee, and how the little lambs were all trying to see the Passover Lamb born in a manger, just to give his life for little sheep like me. The cradle to the cross, to David's throne. From the cradle to the cross, to David's throne. Little King Jesus, coming back someday to claim me.
He's coming back someday to claim me.
He's coming back someday to claim me.
For his own.
For his own.
Thank you, gentlemen. I want you to get those things out of the way before I walk up here and trip over them. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Thank you, ensemble. That was a blessing. And our ensemble is our longest standing singing group here in our church. The ensemble has been together with different people and yet some of the same people for the 24 years that I've been here. And they've been a constant blessing also. Stand, if you will, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1 of Psalm 32. The Bible says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now that word covered does not mean hidden by man. It means covered by the blood of Jesus. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sins unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I want you to notice verse number 7, particularly for our message tonight. David said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, I've found my hiding place. Father, would you bless the message tonight? Thank you for what we heard this morning, for the assurance, Father, that there is hope in Christ Jesus if we'll turn to you. We don't have to live a continuation of the mistakes and failures and foolishness of the past. But we can start sowing the right kind of seed. We can get right and sow right and expect a right harvest. We don't have to continue to reap the heartache and the trouble and the tears of our past life if we'll learn to begin to sow the good seed that'll produce the harvest of joy and blessing and God's approval. Now, Lord, help me as I preach this message tonight. And I thank you for a child of God. Even though we look back at times when we were in despair, in the midst of trouble, under the chastening hand of God, when we deal with our sin, when we get right, when we are right, we can enjoy that wonderful hiding place that David rediscovered. Now help me, Lord Jesus, tonight as I bring this message, for we're a needy people, and there's people listening to my voice that need what's being said this evening. Give me liberty and power to preach. Help my words to be simple and easily understood. And may, Holy Spirit of God, you take the words and apply them to the hearts of those that will listen. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. It is said by Bible commentators that Psalm 32 follows chronologically Psalm 51. That simply means that David in Psalm 51 repented of his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, and he got right with God about it, and then Psalm 32 was written following that repentance. As most of you know, Psalm 51 is David's repentance psalm after his terrible sin with Bathsheba. And let me just go on record to say adultery is always a terrible, terrible sin. Like so many who willfully sin today, David had thought that he had gotten away with his sin, and perhaps even God didn't know how foolish David was. God did know. And God cared about his child sinning. He was not able to allow even King David to commit this horrible sin and get by with it. You ought to read that and know that if God is going to judge even the chosen king of Israel, the man after God's heart, that God's not going to let you and I sin and get by with it either. I say to you that too many of the problems that we go with and we deal with week after week, year after year, is the result of our sinning. We need to learn what David learned. You can't get by with sin. The only way sin can be, the penalty of sin and the curse of sin can be taken from us, is in honest, sincere confession of that sin to a thrice holy God, where we thoroughly get right with God. God sent the preacher by David's house to point out his sin. See, God knew about it. God wasn't going to let David get by with it, and he wasn't going to let him think that he got by with it any longer. So he sent his preacher by, Nathan. And Nathan told him a story and ended up pointing out the fact that thou art that man. You're the one I'm talking about. It's not a sheep, a lamb we're talking about. It's a man that stole another man's wife and committed murder and adultery. Months or maybe even a year had gone by since David sinned. But now payday had finally come. And it's always going to come according to God's calendar, not according to yours. Some of you think that because God didn't hit you over the head with a club the day you sinned or the week you sinned, you got by with it. But we don't get by with it. We don't know how long passed. We do know it was long enough for that mama to bring that baby to full term and give birth to it, and that baby to be alive long enough to get a hold of daddy's heart. And then payday came. That little baby got sick. Terrible sickness. Nothing could be done to help the baby. And the baby died. And God had told David it would be because of his sin. Oh my, what a burden sin leaves on our heart. What scars sin leaves on our life. It's at this time, when that baby died, that David finally fell on his face before a thrice holy God. It's at this time that he repented. He confessed his sin to God and begged God for mercy and forgiveness. And our merciful God forgave him and restored David to the joy of David's salvation. And now for the first time in a long time, David was in a place where he could sing again. Sin steals your song. Sin steals your joy. Sin steals your peace. Sin will steal your family. Oh, the terrible, terrible payday and consequences of our sin. If David knew then what he knows now, I think his actions would have been different, don't you? That's a great message, Brother Laster. Now then, after he'd gotten right with God, he could worship again. He could pray again. He could praise God once again. He had been forgiven, but oh, what a cost he had to pay before he repented. Boy, we get hard-hearted, don't we? I cannot help but wonder, based on Scripture, when people drop out of church, what have they been into? What have they been doing that they ought not be doing? Sin takes you away from worship, takes you away from prayer meetings, takes you away from singing, takes you away from fellowship with God's people. Now then, after David has confessed his sin, after Psalm 51 is a reality, it goes down in the books, God leads David to write Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Look, if you will, for just a moment at verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, David said, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Notice that word, forgiven and covered. God has a way that sin must be dealt with. And sin will never get better by itself. You leave sin alone and ignore God's way of dealing with sin, and it'll just get worse, and it'll rot, it'll fester, it'll grow, it'll canker, until it'll destroy you and your family. David said, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Notice he didn't say hidden from God, hidden from others. He didn't say whitewashed. He didn't say excused. He said forgiven and covered. Have you ever stopped to think how wonderful God is? It's wonderful just to think that he bore our sins. And then all of the junk he has to put up with in us after we're saved. Laziness, lying, unfaithfulness, lust. I could go on and on and on. You do know, don't you, that you did not become perfect on earth in your physical life the moment you got saved. Oh dear God, every year we have to deal with dope in converts, bad checks, unfaithfulness to their spouse. Hey, I got news for you. It's not just Tiger or Cheetah or whatever you want to call him. Every one of us, after we're saved, have problem with sin. And we'll never get to that place that we live above sin in this life. Now, we ought to get to the place where we don't want to sin. We ought to get to the place where sin grieves us. We hate sin. And may I say to you, the closer you get to God, the more you'll see it from His point of view. And the more you'll feel like God feels about sin. But let me also give you a warning. Don't run around because you're saved and you've got a few standards of separation and think you're better than somebody else. I know people that are that way, and they think because they don't smoke and they don't cuss and run around with those that do, that they're better than other Christians. Now, I'm a separatist. I believe in Christians ought to be separate from the world. I believe it because it is biblical. Let me tell you, that don't make me spiritual. I don't do it because I have to do it in order to get to heaven or to get saved. I do it because I love God and I want to be the best testimony for Him that I possibly can. But that doesn't mean I don't still struggle in here with some things, and you too. If you start bragging about how separate you are and how much unlike other people you are and how much better you are, you've got a bigger problem than some of those people have. You've got a pride problem, and you're going to fall, you're going to bust the bottom wide open because of the pride problem you've not dealt with. I'm sick of Christians that run around today with a spirit of superiority. The only thing that's different from us and them is the old rugged cross and the grace of God that reached down for us. Bless God, somebody loved us and worked with us and was patient with us to bring us to Calvary. And the only way we're going to get people saved and reach people with the gospel is to humbly, with the right spirit, though we are separate from the world, love them and minister to them and reach out to them and try to get them in the house of God and under the preaching of the gospel and in fellowship with the right kind of people. We're not going to do it as long as we think we're better than they are. I'm grateful that a gracious God forgave my sins. I'm grateful that a gracious God has covered my sin with His own blood and blotted them out. I'm grateful the Bible says He'll never remember them again. And don't you ask me to keep bringing them up. I'd like to forget them too. I can't undo them. But I can rejoice in the shed blood of Jesus and go on. This is what David is doing. David could not undo his terrible sin. But oh, he's rejoicing now in the fact that God has forgiven him and covered his sin by His own shed blood. Look at verse number 2. He said... Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. There's two things there that I want to say about David. David was rejoicing that God didn't put his sin on his record and kept it there. When He forgave it, He blotted it out. He blotted it out. Oh my, what a blessed privilege we have in Christ Jesus. To know that we'll not stand before God and have the books open and every sin of our past we'll have to give an account for. Because they're under the blood. They're blotted out. They'll never be remembered again. When God looks at the record book and your name, if you're saved, the blood of Christ has been applied. They're blotted out, never to be remembered again, the Bible says. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We're a blessed... God didn't have to do it that way. He chose to do it that way. Oh, what a great God, a good God we serve. And David is blessing God and praising God because he didn't put the sin to our account, but he put it to the account of Christ on the cross and paid for it. Study the doctrine of imputation. The word impute or imputed is not mentioned but about 3 or 4 times in the whole Bible. And it talks about our sins being imputed to Christ, literally put on Christ, Christ becoming our sin bearer. And He died for our sins. And He imputed His righteousness to us. I stand here tonight righteous, not in my own righteousness, because my righteousness is as filthy rags and putrid sores in the sight of a holy God. But I stand here accepted before a thrice holy God in the righteousness of my Savior, the one who took my sins and bore them on Calvary's cross and paid for them, and in their stead, when I believed upon Him, imputed to me and to my account His righteousness. What a Savior we serve. Now, I'm trying to get to my message. I'm just telling you what David was feeling after his sin was forgiven. And he's writing Psalm 32 under divine inspiration. And he says, also look in that same psalm, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I run across Christians all the time that are bitter at God because God dealt with them dealt with their sin. They're bitter at God. They didn't like the judgment of God on their life. I'm sure David didn't like the fact that his little baby died, but he didn't blame God. He knew where the blame was. And God renewed a right spirit in David. He was not bitter and angry at God. He knew where the fault was. It wasn't with God. How's your spirit? What's God had to deal with you about? I'm amazed. Some of you young men, you find a cute little old girl and you kind of get to liking that cute little old girl, and you're not what you ought to be, and she knows it, and breaks up with you because you don't have character, and your spirituality is about two steps below a mouse. And you get bitter at God. Hey, why don't you realize it's not God, it's you. It's you. David had a right spirit even after God judged him, chastened him, took his little baby. Instead of David cursing God, he fell on his knees and confessed his sin and got right with God. I got to get to my message. Look at verse 3 and 4, and you can see a little bit how David was hurting. He said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." He said, "I was suffering all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Selah. David is giving a summary of the account of God's judgment against him and his sin. He is saying judgment was heavy upon him. David hurt. He suffered. He wept. He was sin sick. He was heart sick. And he was soul sick. And every part of his being suffered under the judgment of God. And David knew it was because of his sin. And in the chastening of God, he was brought to repentance. And then we find him in Psalm 32, verse 5. "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Once again, David turned to God and acknowledged his sin. And only then did David rediscover that special hiding place that he had lost. He found it after forgiveness. And he said, "O God, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. Now my message is simply this. What did David find in his hiding place? What did he find in this hiding place? He said, "I have found my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place." Well, let me say, first of all, he found forgiveness for his awful sin. Oh, my. You do understand God's not against you. God's for you. And God's not desiring to beat you over the head with a club and kick you off into hell. God loves you so much, he gave his only begotten Son that you and I might find forgiveness of our sin. And it's in that hiding place that we find forgiveness. We find peace once again. God judged him. He repented and God forgave him. God's forgiveness does not undo the sin we committed. God's forgiveness didn't bring back Uriah from the grave. God's forgiveness did not bring David's little son back to life. You better, let me say it again, you better understand sinning comes with an awful cost. However, God's forgiveness made it possible for David to face life once again and live in God's will and God's peace. God's forgiveness made it possible for David to have a right relationship with God once again and be blessed once again. When you turn to Christ in repentance, you too can be forgiven. Fellowship can be restored, and you can come back to that place where God can bless you once again. I'm amazed at people that want God to bless them and they refuse to get into the place of blessing. I'm thinking of people that we have helped over and over and over again. Family this year that we helped unbelievably last year. And I helped personally last year. I was on YouTube begging this year. And it's just all the circumstances that were against them. Look at their tithing record. Look at all the things that they were involved in. You expect God to bless them in that? He won't bless them. He won't bless me. He won't bless you. But in our hiding place, there's forgiveness and a place where we can get right again and get back to that place of blessing where God blesses us. I'm grateful that this last year I didn't have to file for unemployment. I'm not against it. You paid for it. But I'm grateful I didn't have to. You know, I'm 71. You'd be 71 my birthday, and I've never drawn one employment check. I filed one time but found a job a week before they started. I can't ever remember being without employment. There's work to do if you want to do it. If you're willing to work, you may not get a king's ransom for it, but I'll do a lot of things to pay my rent and put food on the table for my kids. I'm grateful that over these 71 years, I've not had to be on the begging side, but I've been on the giving side. God did that for me because I found my hiding place. When you find forgiveness in Christ and you're restored to that place of fellowship and you live there in relationship with Him, God blesses His children. Some of you don't think God blesses unless He gives you a new car or a new house or $1,000 comes in your mail from an anonymous source. I got news for you. Some of the greatest blessings of God will be those you discover when you stand before God that God protected you from and you never knew anything about them. David found his hiding place. There he found forgiveness and peace and blessing once again. Secondly, in his hiding place, he found a future of joy and deliverance. Joy and deliverance. Psalm 32 says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." The only people I know that sing the songs they sing when they're down is the country western singer. And he's singing in the bar room. He's lost his wife and lost his truck and lost his dog. But I want you to know when we're right with God, we can know songs of joy, songs of rejoicing, songs of blessing. And in his hiding place. He found a future of joy and deliverance. See, in the hiding place of God, like David, we have complete protection from the present and the future. Notice in verse number 7. Notice it. Thou art. You ought to circle that. That's present. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt. That's future. David's saying, I've got protection now and in the future because I've found my hiding place. God was his hiding place. God is able to deal with and forgive every sin of the present. Our sin is not greater than God's forgiveness, folks. Our sin is not stronger than the cross of Christ. All that sin stains and blackens, Calvary can cleanse. All that sin wrecks, Calvary can put back together. What sin hurts, the Christ of Calvary can heal. And I've got to ask you tonight, is he your hiding place today in the present? And David said, thou shalt. Thou shalt. The Lord provides joy and deliverance for our future. Let me say to you that what God pays for today remains paid for forever. God didn't make a down payment on our sin. It's paid in full. Nothing can be added to what God has paid for. Nothing else is required. Nothing else is needed. Paid in full. God said, satisfied, the sin debt has been paid. May I say also, what God forgives in the present is forgiven forever. God doesn't change his mind. When God forgives a sin, he washes it away, blots it out, we'll never remember it again, and we'll never use it against us again. God is a far greater God than some of you have understanding. What God delivered by the power of the cross stays delivered. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, and nor anything taken from it. Oh, I found in my hiding place a future of joy and deliverance. Thirdly, in God's hiding place, David found peace for his troubled soul. Psalm 32:7 again, thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Psalm 27:5 says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me upon a rock. No soul knows trouble like the soul of a man found guilty in his sins and found guilty by a thrice holy God. Oh my, what a troubled soul. David's sin has found him out. Oh, but he found God's hiding place where there's peace for the troubled and the guilty soul. Please understand that David's hiding place and ours is not somewhere away from God. It's found in God. So run to God, and there you'll find your hiding place of peace. You know what most people do when sin finds them out? They run from God. They run and try to get away from their sin. But where are you going to run to hide from God? Where are you going to get away where God can't find you? Oh, run to him. Run to him. You see, you know how rotten your sin is, and you know God ought to kick you off into hell, but God wants to forgive you. God wants you to repent. He wants you to confess that sin as bad, to be as bad as God said it was. He wants you to agree with him that what you and I did was sin, only then will he confess it. Here's the way we do it. And God's sick of it. God, if I've sinned, if. God wants us to get down to the nitty-gritty and confess our sin. Let me say it once again. For a sinner to get saved, we don't have to confess every sin we ever committed. If we did, none of us could be saved because we couldn't remember them all. We have to confess that we are sinners. But after we're saved and when we sin, God says if a man tells us to, if we'll confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what God is saying, he wants us to acknowledge it. He wants us to call it by name. God, I lied today and I'm a liar. Please forgive me of that terrible sin of lying. God, I lusted today. Forgive me of that sin of lust. God, I took something that was not mine and I'm a thief. Forgive me for stealing. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Yeah, and that's why God wants you to do it. You see, if you don't do it, you'll find it easier to do it again. If you confess it before a thrice holy God, knowing that it's necessary to get His forgiveness from it as a Christian. I'm not talking about getting saved now. I'm talking about getting right as a sinning Christian. It'll help this old flesh not to do it again. You know, I'd watch my daddy working on the barn. He'd hit his finger with a hammer. And it really didn't hurt me that much. But when he gave me the hammer and I hit my thumb, then I got acquainted with the pain. If all we do is say, God, if I've sinned, and never admit it, never deal with it, we're never going to come to the place where we realize it's as awful as God says it is. And you know, we have some people that I deal with regularly that has never admitted they're wrong about anything. It's always somebody else doing it. And I know they're lying through their teeth. And guess what? They're not getting ahead in life. They're not climbing the ladder of success. They're going down, down, down. What they thought they had, they're losing. Because they haven't learned to admit sin and take the blame for sin and confess it as my sin against God. You do understand that regardless of the name, sin is first and foremost against God. And listen to what I'm about to say. It's not the number of the sin or the names of the sin that make sin bad. Because all sin is rebellion against God. Well, I've got to hurry. In David's hiding place, he found the source of all wisdom and knowledge. You say, preacher, I wish I could get to the place where I wouldn't keep doing the same old thing over and over again. Then you're going to have to quit living like a fool and start living like a son. You say, I want wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The Bible says. You don't have to be stupid. You don't have to be a fool all your life. We can play the fool. I got tired of that. But let me tell you, David discovered in his hiding place that he had found the source of all knowledge and wisdom. Someone said, I just wish I had common sense. Common sense is not common or everybody'd have it. I found out that person with common sense or purple people that's been in the Word of God and are beginning to act and deal with situations according to God's knowledge and God's wisdom. David found in his hiding place the source of all knowledge and all wisdom. Colossians 2, verse 2 and 3 says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches and of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's my hiding place. And in Him, in that hiding place, is the source of all wisdom. You don't have to make the same mistakes over and over and over again as fools do. You can learn from Him. He's given us His Word. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God who lives with us to teach us as we spend time in the Word of God and listening to the preaching and teaching of God's Word. You can learn from Him. He instructs us how to live, how to serve, how to build a home, how to build a marriage, how to be blessed by Him. May I say to you, any education without the knowledge and wisdom of God is incomplete. You didn't get your money's worth if you went to an institution that denied the book and the God of the book. You didn't get your money's worth. You didn't get what you paid for in an education. Your education is incomplete. You don't have an understanding and an education of this blessed book also. The best you can do is to live like the unsaved man lives. If you're living on feeling and reason and senses, by your senses. A Christian who does not use God's wisdom is classified as a fool. Lastly, in his hiding place, David found protection from the wrath and the judgment to come. In that hiding place. You do understand there's something coming in this world worse than depression or recession. You do understand there's a day coming when God's going to judge this world and those left in it. The Bible talks about it as the time of wrath, of Jacob's trouble. It's talking about the time of the tribulation. Oh, when we find our hiding place in Christ Jesus, we're delivered from that wrath and the judgment to come. Before God pours out 1 ounce of His wrath upon a wicked world, the saved are going to be caught out. And unless Christ is your hiding place, unless you put your faith and trust in Him, you're going to be left behind when Jesus comes for the saved. You'll face that wrath. But David discovered in his hiding place in God, he found protection from the wrath and the judgment to come. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." That word salvation literally means deliverance from this world. It's talking about the completed salvation. You do know your salvation is not complete yet. Oh, what we have is complete. Our soul is saved and saved forever, and we have a right standing before God, but this body has not yet been saved. You see, you're living as a Christian in a body that's unsaved. That's why you have so much trouble with the flesh. But when Jesus comes for the saved, the body will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The corruptible shall put on incorruption. Our body will be saved. We'll be given a glorified body like to the resurrected body of Christ. And we'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. and we shall ever be with the Lord. And after that happens, woe unto those that are living on this earth. Woe unto those that will know what it is to experience God's wrath. You say, why didn't we have to experience that? Because Jesus, when he hung on the cross, took God's wrath for us. God forsook him on that old rugged cross and let him die the death of a sinner, being judged like he was judged in hell. God poured out all of his wrath and judgment that we deserve on his Son, so that when we're saved and are in our hiding place, we can know that we have been delivered from wrath and judgment to come. What a Savior. What a God. Thank God, I've found my hiding place. It's not found in the caves or the mountains of this world. My hiding place is not a bomb shelter. My hiding place is Christ Jesus. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He is my hiding place. Is he yours? If he's not, I want you to know God has a place, a hiding place for you. But you must come to Jesus Christ by faith. And I've got to ask you, and I'm through tonight, is he your hiding place? Is he your hiding place? If he is, you ought to make sure you stay there. You ought to make sure you enjoy its benefits. You ought to make sure that you don't allow the devil to rob you of the joy and the blessings of that hiding place. And if you've never been saved, then you know no peace. You don't know what it is to be forgiven. You don't know what it is to be blessed of God. You have no hiding place. The only thing you've got to look forward to as you are is an eternity without Christ, in a place called hell or the lake of fire. But I want you to know tonight, Jesus came down to this old earth and bore our sins on an old rugged cross so he could become our hiding place. How do I get there? We come one by one by simple faith in Jesus Christ. Nobody can get saved for you. Nobody can seek forgiveness for you. It's a personal matter. And you alone must come to Christ and find your hiding place in him. Father, that's our message tonight. Thank you for Jesus. What a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior you are. Help us never to forget it. And help us to look now and rejoice in the fact that we have a hiding place. Lord, there's some people here tonight, or people listening to my voice over the internet, that ought to be enjoying a hiding place, but sin has robbed them of that peace and that joy and that blessing. Like David, they need to come back to the place of confessing their sin and repentance before a holy God so they can once again enjoy the hiding place that you provided for us. Now, Lord, you know our needs tonight. Some need to come like David and fall on their face. Some need to give you thanks for your goodness in their life and bless you for your forgiveness and your provision. Some need to come and accept you as their Savior. Some have wasted 2009. And they need to come and ask God for forgiveness and dedicate their life to live it for you, to serve you in this coming year. God, speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed.